change of zone number 2009, Double H Development LLC. Mr. Hutt, I believe your applicant also has conditional use number 2440, Double H Development LLC. It is your applicant's desire to consolidate the hearings for purposes of presentation. Okay, we'll be happy to accommodate you. So what that means for the public is there are actually two applications in front of us, the subject of which is the same property, it's the same applicant. So rather than having to go through this twice, we're going to let them consolidate for purposes of presentation into one hearing, and that will be on the record for both. And then at the when we get ready to vote on them, we will vote on them as separate applications. So that's how that works. All right.
Thank you. Our first application, Mr. Chairman, is CZ 2009. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 37.52 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the southeast side of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54, approximately half a mile northeast of Williamsville Road, which is Sussex County Route 395. The 911 address is 35090 Lighthouse Road, Selbyville, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 47.00. Our second application is conditional use number 2440, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, which is 108 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 37.52 acres, more or less. The property is also lying on the southeast side of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54, approximately half a mile northeast of Williamsville Road, which is Sussex County Route 395. The 911 address is 35090 Lighthouse Road, Selbyville, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 47.00. Submitted into the record for both applications, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual rezoning plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, we have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, we have a copy of the proposed restrictive covenants for the property, we have a copy of a memo relating to drainage assessments, we have a copy of the staff analysis, we have a copy of the plus comments, we have a copy of the applicant's response to the plus comments from the State Planning Office, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, we have the comments received from the Technical Advisory Committee, including comments from the Division of Watershed Stewardship, we have a copy of the of a letter received from the US Department of Agriculture, we have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, we have a copy of a letter received from the Delaware Forest Service, we have comments received from Delaware Electric Co-op and from Delmarva Power, and I would note in total there are 7 comments which are for both applications which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Okay, we thank you. Okay, Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I am representing Double H Development LLC, which is the contract purchaser of the property that was just introduced as Mr. Whitehouse read the two applications into the record. With me this afternoon to assist as needed is on my right, your left, Mr. Bobby Horsey, a representative from Double H Development LLC. Sitting next to him is Cliff Mumford, a professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel, who is the project engineers for this project. And sitting behind Mr. Horsey is Tom Noble. He is a professional wetland scientist and certified wetland delineator through the Army Corps of Engineers. And he is with Environmental Resource Insights, which is a division of Davis Bowen and Friedel. Thank you for agreeing to consolidate these applications this afternoon. I wanted to begin this afternoon with a quick history and overview of the property, as well as the applications, then ask Mr. Mumford to discuss the site design and plan and some technical aspects of the applications, and then I will return to further discuss how the projects comply with the county's comprehensive plan and zoning code. While the location that you can see on the screen, of course, the subject of this afternoon's application is right in the middle of all of this area that you can see and is outlined in yellow. This is probably very familiar to most people. If you start at the top of the screen, this is Route 20 or Zion Church Road that comes down to Route 54, which runs across the paper in this direction, or the screens. Of this intersection here, it's a very, the intersection. If you travel through the intersection and across Route 54, you, of course, enter Americana Bayside. I will focus on the western side at this moment. As you travel west on Route 54, of course, you come to a couple of well-known places in American lore. There's a pharmacy, which I believe is CVS. The next item that you come to is McDonald's. Those are both on your left, on your right. As you travel along this corridor, there is a water tower. Just past the water tower on the left is the Sound United Methodist Church. As you continue down 54, there's Brazier's Auto, which would be on your right. And just past Brazier's Auto is Brazier's Carpet. And then there is this the Brazier entities would be in this area. As you travel down, of course, this property would be on your left. As you continue down 54, you can see there's a portion of Americana Bayside. And then you come to West Sand Cove Road. There is the Bay Knolls subdivision that is coming along. And then, of course, as you travel along, you would come to McGee Farms. And actually, the first application that you considered under your other business was for the Williamsville Country Store, which is right where the cursor is located. You looked at a site plan for that site at the outset of this meeting. The property totals 37.5 acres, and as was indicated, there are two applications here, a change of zone application seeking to change the designation of that property on the county zoning map from agricultural residential district to the medium density residential district. The second application is a multifamily conditional use application, and that seeks to have 108 single family homes in a multifamily use, which is a condominium style single family home project. The property is presently used for agricultural purposes, and there is a stand of woods on the property, and we'll talk about those woods, and Mr. Mumford will as well throughout the presentation. At the outset, oftentimes it's stated that there are various land planning tools that this commission and county council can use, and property owners, developers can utilize when seeing what potential uses there can be for a piece of property and how those uses might apply. One of those tools is, of course, the 2020 state strategies maps that are promulgated by the Office of State Planning Coordination. As you can see on this map, the property is again centered on the image, and the property is primarily within a level 3 area. You can see there is a level 4 area. And again, that'll be described, but that is an area that is a non-tidal, non-jurisdictional wetland, which is why the state has that classified as a level 4 area. In level 3 areas, development is appropriate at certain times. And if you look at what the Office of State Planning Coordination says about level 3 areas, it specifically says that development and growth may be appropriate in the near term, but the resources on the site and in the surrounding area should be carefully considered and accommodated. And as you'll hear through this presentation, there are certainly available public water, public sewer, and this area has developed and is continuing to develop. So this would be an appropriate area under the state strategies. Not only is it consistent with the state strategies, but the Planning Commission often looks to the 2045 future land use map that's contained within the 2018 update to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The entirety of this property, as you can see, everything on the screen is within the same area on that, which is, of course, yellow, which is the coastal area, one of the county's 7 growth areas. And there is a little bit of another developing area that you can see just off the screen here at the left-hand side, which is the developing area in Sussex County. The commission is very familiar with Chapter 4, Future Land Use. That includes Table 4.5-2, which is entitled Zoning Districts Applicable to Future Land Use Categories. And the MR, Medium Density Zoning Classification, is on that table as an applicable zoning district within the coastal area. Within the comprehensive plan, it goes on to describe what are permitted uses within the coastal area. And the comprehensive plan states that coastal areas are areas that can accommodate development, provided special environmental concerns are addressed. A range of housing types should be permitted in coastal areas, including single-family homes. This application certainly would meet that stated permitted purpose in the comprehensive plan. The last zoning tool that I will talk about here this afternoon is, of course, the county zoning map, which is sought to be amended. The property is zoned AR, which is why it is unshaded on the screen. As you can see, there is a wide range of various zoning classifications that exist along this area of Route 54. Again, there's you can see, of course, Americana Bayside, which is a large yellow area because that is zoned MR, a medium density residential, the same as this afternoon's application. Immediately to the left of the property, or the west of the property, is a portion of Americana Bayside, the same as with the south. Just past the property on Route 54 is Bay Knolls, again zoned MR. And you can see there is various other properties on both sides of 54 that have that same zoning designation. With respect to commercial zoning designations in the area, the council will recognize the bright red color along Route 54 as the county's C1 general commercial district. The duller red color that exists right underneath the cursor is, of course, the county's CR1 commercial residential district. There is in between these two parcels, actually the Williamsville Country Store application you just saw and considered has a C2 medium commercial designation. There's also a C3 designation for part of the Braziers parcels that they have located along Route 54. And then there's also additional B1 neighborhood business designations all along the Route 54 highway. You can see in addition to the AR and MR residential districts, there is the orangish color that is the county's HR or high density residential districts. And then there's a little bit of this tan color on this zoning map that shows that there is GR general residential also in this overall area. In addition to all those various zoning classifications, the county's staff memo identified 29 conditional uses within a 1 mile radius of this site. So again, this is an active area of Sussex County. The area immediately to the east of this property is owned by the Talls, and it is in an agricultural preservation easement. As you know, I like interesting facts, and things with interesting names qualify in my world as an interesting fact. And the state often has great names for agricultural preservation districts, and this one's no different. This property is known as the Country Rooster expansion of the Williamsville district.
That's something new today.
It's a great name, should be the name of a store or a restaurant or a bar or something.
Yeah.
With that review of the location and surrounding state strategies map, future land use map, and zoning map, I'm going to ask Mr. Mumford if he would come at this time and review the site plan and the various studies and reports that were put together as this site plan was developed and are included in your project book materials.
Thank you, David. Good afternoon, Planning Commission members, staff, and council. My name is Cliff Mumford. I'm professional engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel, located at One Park Avenue, Milford. I'll begin my presentation by reviewing a few of the maps provided in Exhibit 1 of the booklet, and then move to the existing conditions plan, followed by the preliminary site plan, before turning it back over to David. Starting with the FEMA flood insurance rate map, the red line represents our property boundary. The black area, labeled as Zone AE, represents the 100-year floodplain, and it's mapped to follow the elevation 4 contour, which is known as the base flood elevation. The homes in this area will need to be raised above elevation 4, and a letter of map revision based on fill will be submitted to FEMA. Moving to the environmental map, shown with the site rendering overlay, our site's here, and there's a area of NWI wetlands that's consistent with the wetlands delineation that was performed by Tom Noble of Environmental Resource Insights. I'll discuss this area in more detail when we review the site plan. The next map is the source water protection area map, which shows that no excellent recharge areas or wellhead protection areas are present on this site. Now switching to the existing conditions plan, we can see, as David mentioned, the property has frontage along Lighthouse Road to the north, which is Route 54. The majority of the eastern property line is defined by the Drum Creek Prong 4 tax ditch, which runs down to a point here on the boundary. After the ditch turns, the property line continues to the center of the Drum Creek main tax ditch. This ditch defines the southern property boundary with Americana Bayside all along here. The western boundary follows the edge of the woods line, which the woods is shown in a light green, and runs adjacent with Americana Bayside Melson, which David mentioned, to the right of way with Lighthouse Road. And that completes the loop around the property boundary. The existing woods, as I mentioned, are represented by the cloud-shaped green line. There are approximately 8.259 acres of existing woods, with a hatched area inside the woods is the wetlands that were delineated by Tom Noble. Those wetlands are not classified as resources as defined by Sussex County Code because they are not contiguous to tidal waters or wetlands, and they do not include a surface water connection to adjacent wetlands. You can see here there's some ag ditches that run across the property to the main, to the Prong 4 tax ditch, but there's no pipe connection or ditch connection. There's a farm road that runs along here that separates the wetlands from the tax ditch. There's a detailed letter that was submitted to Planning and Zoning describing why the letters are not, or why the wetlands are not resources, and that's provided in the booklet as Exhibit 7. As mentioned before, the property is impacted by two Deneric tax ditches, Perch Creek Main and Perch Creek Prong 4. Perch Creek Main runs with Americana Bayside and includes an 80-foot right-of-way from the top of bank of the ditch. Perch Creek Main will not be impacted by this development. Perch Creek 4, Prong 4, runs from Lighthouse Road down the eastern boundary line with the Toll Brothers property. Not the Toll Brothers developers, just Toll with a U. Roughly 1,250 feet, and then turns and cuts through the property. As part of the development, we plan to realign Prong 4 to run parallel with that boundary line with the Toll Brothers until it connects with Perch Creek Main near the southeastern property corner. The center line of the ditch will be offset from our property line to not impact the neighboring property and be wholly contained on our site along with the tax ditch right away. A court order change will be required to be filed with Deneric to relocate the tax ditch. All right, moving from the existing conditions plan to the preliminary site plan. The proposed neighborhood will have an entrance on Lighthouse Road, Route 54, which is classified as a major collector by DLDOT. Lighthouse Road includes 12-foot travel lanes and 8-foot shoulders, which meets DLDOT standards for a major collector. The entrance has been sited to align with New Road, which intersects Lighthouse Road from the north. Here. Left and right turn lanes will be provided into the site along with a left turn lane onto New Road based on DLDOT requirements. Regarding our due diligence with DLDOT this far, we have submitted a service level evaluation request to which they responded that the development site traffic would have a minor impact on area roadways and that the project is eligible to pay an area-wide study fee in lieu of performing a traffic impact study, which is also known as a TIS. That response can be found in the booklet as Exhibit 2. The project is not within a transportation improvement district, also known as a TID. A pre-submittal meeting was held with DLDOT on June 10th of this year, and the area-wide study fee memo was issued on June 25th, 2024, which confirmed DLDOT's position regarding a TIS. This memo is included as Exhibit 3 in the booklet. Getting back to the site plan, at the entrance, a 10-foot wide shared use path will be provided along the property frontage. The closest house will be situated 70 feet from the right-of-way of Route 54, and all but two houses at the entrance are greater than 100 feet from any adjacent property lines. Besides these two houses at the entrance, every other unit is greater than 100 feet from adjacent property lines. The internal streets will include concrete curb and gutter and a closed drainage system. A 5-foot wide sidewalk is proposed on both sides of the streets and will be located 5 feet behind the back of curb with a grass strip in between. The road and drainage will be designed to meet the requirements of the Sussex County Engineering Department and will be subject to their review and approval. The property proposes a community center with a square footage of at least 2,000 square feet. You can see it here. And a pool with a minimum water surface area of 1,000 square feet. And that community center includes two pickleball courts. Revisiting the tack stitches, you can see the proposed alignment here of the relocated Perch Creek Prong 4 tack stitch and where it will connect to Perch Creek Main. The tack stitch right-of-ways will be maintained by a Denrek tack stitch section in a meadow-like manner. No structures are proposed within the tack stitch right-of-ways other than the stormwater outfall pipes, which will be subject to review and approval by Denrek. For the western boundary, although not shown on this plan, the project proposes a 30-foot landscape and wooded buffer in areas where one does not already exist. So this part of the western boundary line is existing woods, which will remain until you get to a point here where there's a thin hedgerow. So we propose to supplement that existing woods line with a 30-foot landscape buffer to the right-of-way or the permanent easement with Lighthouse Road. Of the existing woodlands located in this southwest corner, 5.449 acres will be preserved, which represents roughly 65% of the existing woods. The wooded wetlands shown hatched here will not be impacted, and a 30-foot voluntary buffer will be provided around them. Open space provided throughout the site includes amenity areas, existing woods, voluntary landscape and wetlands buffers, tack stitch right-of-ways, and stormwater areas that total roughly 18 acres or 49% of the site. Stormwater management will be provided to meet the requirements of Sussex Conservation District. Wet ponds or other best management practices will be used to manage stormwater. The project is in Tier 1 of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. The county issued a sewer service concept evaluation to demonstrate capacity and providing a connection point near our entrance for sanitary sewer. There's an existing gravity sanitary sewer manhole in this location at our entrance that we will connect to. Water service will be provided by Artesian Water Company. Electricity will be provided by Delaware Electric Cooperative, and ability to serve letters are included in the booklet as Exhibit 9. Project was presented to PLUS on February 7th, 2023. A response to the PLUS comments can be found in Exhibit 4 of the booklet. And finally, an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report is included as Exhibit 5 and addresses items found in Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code. That concludes my presentation. Thank you for your attention, and I'll be available for questions after David Hutt finishes his presentation.
Can I ask you a question while you're there?
Sure.
The farm ditches will be abandoned, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Turning to the two specific applications that are in front of the commission this afternoon, of course, the change of zone application to the MR medium density residential district, as well as the conditional use for 108 single family dwellings in a multifamily condominium style use. As the commission is familiar, the purpose of the MR district is stated in the code as to being to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are or which are expected to become generally urban in character, but where sanitary sewers and public water supplies may or may not be available at the time of construction. Again, you'll, as you've heard and seen on the zoning maps, and many of you are familiar with the area, that is certainly the nature and character of this area. As the commission is familiar, multifamily dwellings are a conditional use within the MR district, and the purpose of a conditional use, as it's set forth in the code, is to provide for items that are of a public or semi-public character that are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the county, and then being able to place certain limitations and conditions on those uses. Housing is certainly of a public or semi-public character and has been recognized regularly by this planning commission and county council as being desirable for Sussex County. As mentioned, the purpose of the MR district is to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are expected to become generally urban in character. And the zoning map that was on the screen before certainly showed that the properties immediately to the west of this, both and to the south of this, are zoned MR, as well as even the next property over, the Bay Knolls property. And when you look at that, and this is of course the site, and we've shown some densities in the adjacent parcels. If you look closely at the screen, you can see that the density that's proposed this afternoon is slightly lower than those. This afternoon's density with 108 units is 2.89 units per acre. And in this section of Americana Bayside, which is phase seven and, or four rather, in 6B, the density is 3.35 units to the acre, and that excludes the apartments. And then this is one of the more recent Americana Bayside additions. It's also, when you look at the tax maps, they call it the Melson portion of it. The density of that area of Americana Bayside is 3.67 units to the acre. And then if you jump across West Sand Cove Road to the Bay Knolls community, that has a density of 3.87 units to the acre. Again, all of those numbers being a little more than the 2.89 being proposed for this property that's situated right here. Of course, that's one way that shows how these properties and this proposed project integrates into the character of the community and that immediate area. But several of you will likely recall the Bay Knolls application, or more correctly, applications. For those of you that were on the commission, you'll recall that the Bay Knolls project came through in two various tracts of land. There was a first tract that had a little more than 13 acres, and then a second tract of land that came through with a little over 8 acres. And the applications and the processes for both of those were exactly identical to the process and applications that you see here this afternoon. Both of those applications, the 13-acre and the 8-acre properties, involved a change of zone from AR1 to the MR district, and both of them involved a conditional use application seeking a multifamily use, and in that case it was duplexes, not single-family homes in a condominium-style regime. For the benefit of the record, I know that I often see Mr. Robertson write these numbers down when I say them, so I will prepare him so he's ready with pen in hand. The 13.33-acre applications were the first set. They were approved by County Council on January 14th, 2020. Ordinance number 2700 adopted change of zone 1896, that's the AR to MR, and then ordinance number 2701 adopted conditional use 2197, which was the multifamily portion. Then for the 8-acre parcel in September of 2021, September 21st, County Council adopted ordinance number 2803, which was change of zone 1945, changing the designation of the property to MR, and then ordinance number 2804, which was conditional use 2292, which was the multifamily use that expanded and brought those two properties together and into one conditional use application. Of course, the surrounding zoning districts and even what's immediately adjacent to a property are not the only consideration that the commission has in front of it. We talked about the 2018 comprehensive plan and the future land use map and these properties being within the coastal area and that designation. When you look at the permitted uses and densities, there's a statement in there that the description of the coastal area is that it can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. And it goes on to state that medium and densities, which it classifies as 4 to 12 units per acre, can be appropriate in certain locations. And while we don't reach that threshold, we're certainly not 4 to 12 units to the acre, it's 2.89 units to the acre. I wanted to address several of the factors and considerations when the comprehensive plan says that those densities are appropriate. Four of them that are most often referenced is one, when there is central water and sewer, and Mr. Mumford just confirmed that both of those are available. Two is where the property is near a significant number of commercial uses and employment centers, and certainly that's a good description of the Route 54 corridor. Three is when it's in keeping with the character of the area, and we've described the character of the area and even the adjacent communities that have very similar uses and have traveled very similar paths to where we are this afternoon. The fourth is that the property is situated along a main road or at or near a major intersection. And again, as we've just heard, this property is located along what DLDOT classifies as a major collector, a Route 54 or Lighthouse Road. The coastal area purpose, the first sentence of that, or one of the first sentences, talks about how properties in these areas can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. And one of the things that makes working with real property and what this commission does twice a month or this month, three times a month, enjoyable is that all properties are unique, and certainly this property fits that mold. You heard during Mr. Mumford's presentation regarding how two of the board boundaries or borders of this property are formed by tax ditches. The Perch Creek Prong 4, which runs along the eastern boundary with the Tull property, and then, of course, the Perch Creek Main that runs along the southern boundary with the Americana Bayside. And I point those out because they have those, he mentioned the right-of-way that accompanies those tax ditches, and those are 80 feet wide right-of-ways. And the design of the community took those into account. In addition, you heard about the non-tidal, non-jurisdictional wetlands that are located within this wooded area, and that was also taken into account. As you can see, 65% of those woods are going to remain with how the plan was designed. The goal of this and why you do not see, typically in an application like this, of course, the commission is used to seeing a 20-foot or 30-foot wide landscaped or forested buffer along the entire perimeter of a community. That's certainly set forth in Chapter 99 and Chapter 115 of the code. But as was indicated, there are significant tax ditch right-of-ways that exist, and what's proposed, and there was a conversation that occurred earlier in this meeting about what I'm about to say, but what's proposed is for them to be in a meadow-like condition, and we can show that on a site plan, Mr. Wheatley, to make sure that it's clear which areas are going to be within that meadow-like condition. And that has a number of benefits. We heard some of them from various planning commission members earlier. Certainly, it's attractive to birds and pollinators, and it looks better than oftentimes just a manicured lawn or mowed area. And it's also if done correctly, can have less maintenance involved on an ongoing basis. And tax ditch right-of-ways have a limit on the amount of maintenance that is supposed to be going on or within them in a regular basis. The other thing that design scheme of using those tax ditch right-of-ways to form a meadow-like boundary on those two borders is the other item that Mr. Mumford referenced, is that it results in there being no housing units closer than 100 feet to any of the property lines or property boundaries or borders. As he mentioned, on the western border would be a more traditional landscape or perimeter buffer, utilizing the existing woods to the extent possible. As part of this proposed community, there would, of course, be a condominium association for the operation and maintenance of the community properties and amenities. A sample set of the condominium declaration and restrictions for that were provided to Mr. Robertson and are included in the project book materials at Exhibit 8. In there was what's proposed included an agricultural use protection notice, which is fairly standard, as you know, under the county. At this time, I'm going to hand some proposed findings and conditions to Mr. Whitehouse. I'll go over one of those. And Mr. Whitehouse, each one is bundled together. There's two, one for the change of zone and one for the conditional use for each set. As those are being passed down to all of the Planning Commission members, The second set in the two that are paper-clipped together for you is the proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval for the conditional use application. And if you are there and you turn to the second to last page of that, page 4, you'll see that one of the proposed conditions relates to the buffering that I was just talking about to the property. And I only point this out because it is unique and different than what the commission often sees with a typical landscape or wooded buffer. And you can see that what's proposed is that the tax ditch right-of-ways be maintained in a meadow-like manner consistent with DENREC's requirements for tax ditches, and that, of course, being on the eastern and southern boundary, and then the western boundary would be your typical 30-foot wide perimeter wooded or landscape buffer. Based upon the paper record that Mr. Whitehouse introduced when he was describing the applications, as well as this afternoon's application and presentation, the applicant requests that the Planning Commission recommend approval of both the change of zone application as well as the conditional use for multifamily homes, as they are consistent with the zoning code, the comprehensive plan, as well as this area of Sussex County. That concludes our presentation. Myself and the rest of the team are certainly happy to answer any questions that members of the commission may have.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
No, sir. Mr. Hutton, Mr. Mumford answered all my concerns.
Okay, Ms. Wingate.
I just have just one question, and it's with regards to Mr. Mears' question on the existing tax ditches on the one site plan. There's only one section that's going to be filled in. Is that correct?
When you say filled in, it gets moved.
Well, but you're going to have to fill that in to move it.
That is correct. Yeah.
So, but it's ultimately all going to be tied in, like you have the green there, that the water will still be flowing. We're not going to stop it someplace, right? It's still going to flow.
That is correct. And I'll try to draw it.
I know how those tax ditches can be with a site.
Tax ditch presently goes here and then goes into the property, something a lot like that. That it'll connect up
at the end of it, right? Yeah, okay. Which brings me to my next point, because the tax ditches are going to be, what is that called, the prong, the name of it, Perch Creek Prong. Doesn't look like it leaves a lot of options for any area to be left open for an emergency access. So I just want to put that on the record that I did consider it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Collins?
No questions for me, sir.
Mr. Butler?
No questions, sir.
White House?
No for me, thanks.
Staff, anything? Okay. Roberts?
None for me, thanks.
Okay, and I have no questions either. Mr. Huck, you'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 2009 Double H Development LLC or conditional use number 2440 Double H? Anyone like to speak in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition? Okay, yes, sir, with your hand in the air, come right this way. Come on up to the podium and give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Mic is hot?
It is.
Okay. My name is Ken Schroyer. I live in Bayside, 36426 Azalea Avenue, Selbyville. First off, I have a question to the developer, and I didn't hear it called out. You're saying single family. Does that mean no townhouses or no complex?
Okay, we'll get that.
I can answer that best than what was explained. It would be single family in appearance, so they're going to be detached structures, but it's going to be a condominium regime. In other words, it's not going to be a subdivision with individual lots that a house sits upon. It's going to be individual single-family structures that are part of a condominium, and the land will be all part of the common elements of that condominium. So if you look at it, it's going to look like all single-family homes.
According to the diagram, it appears to me it's single-family homes.
That's what they are.
That's the way it's going to appear. That's correct.
Single-family.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it'll look like.
So house separation.
That calculates about three houses per acre according to calculations.
That's correct.
Not taking in sidewalks and streets and whatever.
2.89, I think, was the testimony.
Okay. I didn't see in the diagram, unless I don't notice, there's a ditch that runs through there, right back on my property on Azalea. And it comes down and goes up at a certain angle. Is that what that red line was trying to show me here a minute ago? How are they going to cross that ditch? They're going to put a pipe? What are they going to do? They're going to close it off or what?
We'll get an answer for you.
I'm sorry, sir?
We'll get an answer for you. Okay. Just give us all your questions, and then we'll have them come up and answer.
And I know that ditch because it was put there for a reason. It has riprap stones, and it has screening in there, silk cloth.
Right.
So that ditch gets full once in a while, and I want to make sure there's no flooding.
Right.
Adjacent properties.
Absolutely.
Will some of these site plans be available to the public if I get a hold of someone here later?
They're all available. They've been available. They're online. You can get them. Yeah.
Online now.
Oh yeah, they've been online. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You just go to the county website, and if you have difficulty navigating, give them a call, and they'll help you.
Again, didn't wear my hearing aid. I missed it in the back. You're going to have 108 homes, which means approximately two cars per house. There's another 216 houses dumping out on 54. If anybody ever's been down there on a weekend for the 4 months during the summer, you can't get out. It's a congestion. So has DOT been in on this? Are they approved this site plan?
Well, they'll have to. They'll have to be in on it at this point in time. Certainly DLDOT has been consulted. They've had discussions with them. They generally know what they have to do, but they have a whole other process they have to go through after they go through ours before they can do anything. So yeah, the DLDOT will be all over it.
Now I'm going to speak for those who can't speak for themselves.
Who are they?
I have approximately 18 deer in the back there.
Okay.
I have approximately 14 beautiful turkeys. I have foxes and other wildlife, and we have geese that fly in there and land because they like that water and that solitude. And once in a while, there's an eagle in there. What do we do if there's an eagle nest in those trees on the adjacent property?
Nothing anymore. They're not protected anymore.
Bayside wasn't not allowed to build houses for almost a year.
That was before. That's all gone away.
That's gone away?
The eagles have caught up.
We don't have an eagle problem anymore.
No, we got plenty. In fact,
Okay. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Good stuff. Really, the eagle thing has really...
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, okay. Now, the gentleman did have a question. Go ahead. You go ahead, sir. I had a question about the ditch. Somebody from your team want to come talk to us about the ditch?
And maybe just for the benefit of the public, talk about, you know, it's going to be moved, but how it's going to be moved.
Yeah,
you know, like construction and whatever else, so it'll never be blocked.
Yeah, I think the wrong guy is standing up
there. I was just going to say, I can't tell you how it's going to be moved. I was going to say there will be a court order involved that gets it, that allows for it to be moved, and with that process would be followed through, assuming that county council acts favorably upon this. Then the next step is to seek that change through a court order that allows the actual tax ditch to be moved to the location that's shown on the screen. With respect to the actual, how that works, that's Mr. Mumford.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. You raise an interesting point. If it's going to be a court order, is there some type of public hearing involved, or does the public have the opportunity to have input in that process, or is that just something that's administrative in nature?
It's sort of a hybrid, but I would say it's more administrative. You'd have to really seek it out to get there. It's not as, like, for instance, there's not going to be a site plan online that shows it directly like you would have, for instance, with this afternoon's application.
It's not a secret, is it?
It is certainly not. No, it is obtainable. Okay. And then I guess Mr. Mumford can speak to the actual physical relocation.
Yeah, how are we going to do that?
And to add to what David Mumford David said about the court order change, the officers in that tax ditch section have to sign off on that.
Okay.
But how we're going to move that is DENREC has special cross sections that they require for the tax ditch. So we're going to match the tax ditch section that's out there now and meet their requirements. And it'll have certain side slopes and a bottom width that they have figured out it needs to be. And we'll reroute it along that eastern property line, like I said, and it'll be, you'll have 30 foot on either side from top of bank for maintenance and access, and then it'll connect into that southern main Perch Creek tax ditch, and DENREC will review the whole set of plans.
And will that be constructed in such a way that all of the stormwater runoff from your property remains on your property or is conducted into a ditch somewhere and does not cause flooding on your neighbors?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir, come on up.
How you doing? My name's James Snyder. My wife and I, Rebecca and I, live right on the corner of New Road and Route 54. And I just have some questions concerning the development and how it will impact our property.
Okay.
So we live directly across where the proposed entrance would be.
Okay.
So from the plans I've seen, they're going to have to improve Route 54 in some way, widening of a turning lane, things like that. Are they planning on infringing on my property to widen the road, or as it should be, is all the impetus going to be on the developer side for any widening, sidewalks, bike paths, turning lane will be on that side and not take more of my property, which they did when they expanded New Road some years ago, and we had lost a little bit of our property then.
Well,
so that's my main concern of that, besides increased traffic, which we already see lots of, noise, things like those things, expected in a developed area, but it is an increasing concern because, as the gentleman before me said, I'm not trying to be repetitive, on the weekends, it used to be backed up before Bayside, now it's Bayside, now the traffic's back up all the way to Williamsville Corner on the weekends, and it makes it more dangerous for everyone that lives there, as well as increased accidents, hitting of the animals and wildlife. There's always dead deer and raccoons, possums out on Route 54 there. So with that increased traffic, it also increased the likelihood of damage to my property with another turning lane being there, people going too fast, trying to turn down New Road or into this new development. So there's multiple concerns there that I have. But the primary one is, I don't really want to lose more on my property. I'm sure none of you would,
well, I think I can
or have it hurt.
That. I think I can answer that question
sure.
for you. They can't do anything on your property unless you let them. Okay, the state's a different matter. In an extreme situation, the state can come in and quote take your property, condemn it, you know, or could declare eminent domain or whatever. But that's not available to a private developer. Okay, so he can't do anything. And generally, in these types of situations, all the improvements are going to occur from the state right away and then onto their property, not infringing on your property. They okay. might have to do improvements in front of your property on the state right away, but they can't come onto your property to do that unless you permit it.
Right.
You allow.
So if there are plans that include in this development that involve the improvement of 54 that should infringe on my property, I would get notice and be able to come to some type of hearing or things like that?
Well, yeah, but there should never be that plan because they can't do that. Nobody's going to approve a plan. This group is not going to approve a plan that shows them encroaching on your property without your permission.
Okay.
I mean, they have to buy it from you. You know, they'd have to. You typically would purchase an easement or a strip.
Well, of course, when they rode years and years ago, I didn't want them to do it, but they have the right, so they bought. You know, we were compensated for some of our land.
Yeah, you more or less.
So with that right of way, is what
different.
I'm saying is my question would then be, is the plan to be to use some of the right of way that they have the right to that would be part of my, you know, existing property whereas now to say,
right
okay,
away.
We need to take this bit of it to help improve Route 54. That's my main concern.
Right. Well, they can't do that. Theoretically, the state can, but it's unlikely in a situation like that because this is a private development. It's not an improvement for the state road. It's improvement for that specific development that the developer has to bear the cost of. So, you know, the state's a little different. The state's a hammer. The developer is a little more like a nail.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for your early staff. Is there anything else?
Okay, and you are?
I didn't want to miss anything.
Yep. So I just want to clarify what was saying. So the plans are actually lined
actually,
up.
Oh, you got to come
sorry.
Here.
Sorry. The plans are actually lined up with widening of the road. So I believe what we're trying to ask is the widening of the road that is going to be done by the state or the developer, not sure whose responsibility that is as of now, but all of the widening will happen to the other side of the property,
correct.
To the developer side.
Not unless they make them do a turn lane, but they still.
But there is
to
a turn lane on the plans.
It's already there.
On your side?
No,
it isn't.
There
is not.
Not on your side
because all the development's on this side.
Correct.
So if they may make them do a turn lane, but they still have to be within the right of way.
They're still going to be on the state right of way. They're not going to be taking any more of your property. Whatever the state has already taken from you.
Right.
That should be the end of it.
Correct. And I don't believe that we're not saying that they're going to take some of our property. So basically right now, the shoulder is very limited. It's not a full-size shoulder right now. There is a patch of grass in there. There's somewhat of a bike lane. It's not as marked as a bike lane.
Right.
So, you know, with the additional turn lane, and there's going to be a left turn lane and a right turn lane. So that's the concern that, you know, it's going to be encroaching on that shoulder.
Right.
Any
additional land is going to come from the other side.
Okay.
They can only go as far as the state right away on your side.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
That's what we're asking, I believe. Thank you.
Thank you very much for
you're
all
you're
talk
certainly
and
welcome.
Our questions.
No, absolutely. You're certainly welcome. It's why we do this. Is there anybody else like to speak in opposition? Going once, twice? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the day to see if we